Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We are back. It's 34 after the hour. Welcome aboard if you just tuned in. If you've been here a while, thanks for that. We're doing our best to make it worth your while, to make it worth your time, and we know it's worth your money, right? All the money you spend to be able to listen to this show, we try to make sure that it's worth that investment for you. Let me introduce you to a new friend. Sam Reese is with us now. He's president and CEO of a company called Miller Heiman. And one of the reasons I wanted Sam to meet Sam is because he talks about selling. His company is devoted to making sure that companies and individuals are able to put their best foot forward in the marketplace to help people understand that selling is a lot more science than art, even though there is some art involved. And he and I have a little kindred background. We're both Xeroids. I was with Xerox about a half a generation before he was, but we both got kind of a part of our start, at least with Xerox. But he's here to talk to us about something that's very near and dear to my heart. Those of you who've been listening to the show for a while know that. You know that what I believe, and that's that nothing happens until somebody makes a sale. Sam Reese, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim. I was really excited to be on it.
Well, it's good to have you here. I'm proud to have you as a guest. And Sam, one of the things that I want to do to start with, if you don't mind, is you guys have conducted a study. It's the 2004 Miller Heiman Sales Effectiveness Study, and you guys uncovered some things that I'd like for you to share with my audience. What are some of the most important things in this study that you think we need to know?
Great. Yeah, every year we do a sales effectiveness study and get a couple thousand responses from people all over the world. And I think a couple things that jump out when you compare year to year in the last year, what's changed. I think the first thing that we saw is that executives were saying that the number one challenge for them when it comes to selling in their sales organization is finding the right people and putting them in the right positions. So they used to say that the people equation was pretty simple, but now they're finding that's the hardest thing.
You know, that's the thing that's showing up. That's showing up in other studies, Sam.
Yes.
I do every month. I conduct interviews with two other groups that do studies. These are monthly studies, and one example is the NFIB report, which we just did yesterday, by the way. And one of the things that has been showing up more and more in their hiring component of their study, their monthly study, is that it's not so much that they're having trouble finding people, because as you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you didn't take a pulse, you took you took a pulse.
That's right.
And now people are saying, well, we have people, but we can't find the right people. And
exactly.
And so this is it's
result.
Interesting to see. You know, different studies finding similar things.
And I think what you said is the big issue, Jim, is that 4 or 5 years ago, anybody could get in the world of selling, and they were commanding high salaries. They were asking, you know, for all sorts of perks. And when I talked to the companies I talked to, I just found there were so many pretenders got into the business.
Right.
That really couldn't sell. They could take an order.
Right.
And I just get this picture in my mind of during the internet age of salespeople being these waiters with aprons on.
Right.
And say, hey, can I take your order? And that's not what selling's about.
Yeah, or what we used to say at Xerox with the, I don't know if you remember the focus on flexibility. We used to have a joke about that. It was just a little package that showed different applications, and you know, we'd sort of flip through it and say, "Stop me if you see anything you like."
That's right. But it's a great point, because that's what's changed, and where a lot of people are having a tough time finding good salespeople is that it used to be, you know, being able to sell used to be kind of a push sell, where, you know, let me tell you about all the things I can do and tell me when you find something you want. And now it's much more of a pull, and it's understanding what the customer's trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid. What, you know, what's their concept of what they're trying to do, and then make a solution to go the maps to that. And that's really right. hard for salespeople. So that was one of the big initiatives that people talked about. Execs also talked about the fact that the senior execs are more involved in decisions than they've ever been in the past. So it's kind of interesting, you know, that they're not trusting their most, you know, trusted advisors, if you would, to just make the decision. When it comes to big purchases, they're getting involved themselves and meeting with salespeople. And so it's giving them maybe a better perspective on what's happening in the sales world.
That's very interesting. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about that. I got a couple of questions about that particular piece of the issue. We're visiting with Sam Reese. He's president and CEO of Miller Heiman. They're a sales training organization. When we come back, we'll get Sam to tell us a little bit about what his company does. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. It's always a pleasure. Don't forget, coming up in the show straight ahead, the administrator of the SBA, our good friend Hector Barreto, is going to be with us. And, folks, he is going to be traveling to Nashville to announce the SBA's 2005 agenda. But guess what? Now, he's going to be on this show before he makes that announcement and make that announcement on this show. We're going to scoop his event in Nashville. So I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty exciting. That's coming up in the next hour, folks. We're visiting with Sam Reese. He's president and CEO of Miller Heiman. Sam, tell us a little bit about Miller Heiman.
Great. Miller Heiman, sales training and consulting company that's been around about 26 years. We deal with all size clients. We've got kind of, you know, our core consulting business is focused on some pretty large companies, and then our what we call our public session business is focused on small companies. And so we've got a wide variety of customers. But we basically help customers install processes that help them identify opportunities, manage opportunities, and manage the customer relationships moving forward. So it was really just what you talked about, is that, you know, we're trying to get people to understand that sales is a strategic asset and something they can leverage.
Right.
And that's really the cause that we have all day, every day, is trying to get companies to really understand that.
Give us your website, please.
You bet. It's MillerHeiman.com.
All right. Check that out. And when you get a chance, if someone wants to contact you, they can. There's plenty of contact information, I'm sure, on the website, aren't there?
It's all there, yes.
Yeah. So check that out.
Yeah, as well as a link to get a summary report of our research.
All right.
Talked about here.
Good deal. I know there are people out there who would like to have. Folks, this is a very interesting, very, very important research that they've come up with, that I think if you just read this report, you'd get some insights into your own operation. Sam, let's go back to what you've learned in this survey. About 15 or so years ago, in the late 80s, there was a move began that I think was an offshoot of the quality process that used to be called vendor reduction.
Yep.
For a major corporation, it was not uncommon for them. When you and I were coming up as sales pups years ago, and I was a pup along. I was an old dog by the time you were a pup, by the way, Sam. But in those days, you know, we'd take our kit bags into the field, and we'd call on a lot of the people we called on were highly paid professional purchasing agents.
Right.
And maybe it would not be uncommon for a plant to have hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of different vendors, maybe 10 or 20 or more vendors for one item.
That's right.
And they realized that this was a very unproductive process, and they started the industry, the marketplace, I should say, started doing something called vendor reduction. So now, 15 years later, we've got it down to a science. You've got people are focusing more on partnerships and less on vendors, and so it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. if you know that history, Sam, it makes sense what you guys found, and that is that more and more higher level executives are involved in the purchasing decision than they would have been 10 or 15 years ago.
That's right, and you nailed it when you said partnerships. That's something that a purchasing agent doesn't understand. A purchasing agent, when they say, you know, buy this widget, they go talk to people that can supply that widget at these specs.
Right.
But it's
the joke about the purchasing agent was they knew the price of everything and the value of nothing.
That's exactly right. And so what companies did to be smart and combat that is they said, you know, we got to talk to executives in the company because they're the ones that really understand what the plans are of the business. And that trend continues, especially over the last couple of years that were hard. You know, 2002, 2003, difficult years. And that was really where it started happening. The senior executive said, hey, I'm not just going to throw this to the wind.
I've got to be in control. The only way I can really be in control of my margins is if I know what we're paying for stuff.
And making sure, in fact, the days of, you know, budgeting, the way budgeting used to happen, those are dead. I call it outlook budgeting now. And outlook budgeting means you may have something in your budget, Jim, in your department where you get to spend $500,000 this year. I may have something I get to spend $500,000, but based upon how the company is doing, maybe only one of us gets to spend our $500,000, and some senior executive, the CFO or CEO, has to look at your initiative versus mine and say, I don't think we're going to spend on this one, and we are going to go with this other one.
Or they appropriate it somewhere else. But the thing is, Sam, is that now what we got to do is we got to tie this to our sales force. And that is simply, and this is what you talk about all the time, and that is that your sales force, folks, if you understand, if you believe what this research shows, and I do, your sales force cannot be some dirty shoed guy out there that doesn't know what he's doing. He's got to have his cornflakes together, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you'll love this one statistic we found. And here's the statistic: is that 50% of the time that a senior level person says no to a proposal, 50% of the time it has nothing to do with the proposal itself. It has to do with the way the information was presented to them by the vendor. 50%, you know, so you might have the perfect solution, but you come in there to meet with the CEO and you don't know how to interface with them. So, you know, boom, they flush out of their office.
One of my friends, Skip Miller, talks about the Mexicans, the Russians, and the Greeks. He separates them into different in different categories. He said, you know, he said more and more people, he says what you're saying. He says the Greeks are the top guys. He said more and more people are speaking Greek, and if you can't speak that language, you're not going to make a sale.
100% right.
Yeah.
And
stand by.
What happens in companies?
Sam, hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you bring us up to date on that. When we come back after these messages, Sam Reese, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's president and CEO of Miller Hyman. That's MillerHyman.com is the website. Tintel, stay with us.
This ain't no place for losers. All the years of my
we're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to be with you, and I know it's a dream come true for you to be with me, so I'm always glad to help you out whenever I can. Sam Reese is here. It's like a dream come true for him, too. He's president, CEO of Miller Hyman, and that's Miller Hyman, H-E-I-M-A-N, .com, if you want to check out their website. Sam, your sales training programs are just that, aren't they? You deliver them to multiple folks. Can people buy your programs in a virtual way without having someone deliver them in face-to-face?
They can. They can go to our website and direct them there. We have some products that you can buy just over the web, but that's really not how we think you really change behavior.
Right.
So, you know, the core of our business is about some type of face-to-face instruction to go with it.
Right.
And when we do it, it's all about real accounts, you know, real situations. It's not hypothetical because I don't believe that hypothetical stuff translates.
Right. I agree with you. Sam, we're talking about One of the things that you and I have not talked about yet that we were going to talk about is conceptual selling. You and I were trained to sell conceptually. I think if somebody said to me, okay, Jim, you've got 15 seconds and you have to tell me the most important thing about selling that you know, in 15 seconds, you tell me everything you know that are the most important things about selling, I would say take care of your customer and sell conceptually.
Excellent.
That would be all I'd say. And then I'd give you 6 seconds back.
It's all about the customer, what they're trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid.
Yep.
I mean, to your point, I mean, it's all about what is their concept? What is it that they're trying to do? And that needs to be where you're genuinely curious and trying to solve that problem, you know, rather than trying to push something as fast as you can and hoping that there's some fit.
I've identified a condition, what I call it an epidemic, Sam, that I call the customer, what customer syndrome, that I believe is rampant through the marketplace today. It's very troubling to me to see how many people out there are not focused on, they're not devoted to the customer. They're almost more devoted to their competition, to making sure that they outdo their competition than they do about taking care of their customers. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, it's such a great point. I talk about this all the time, that I believe that people that are focused on their competition aren't focused on their customers. Because, you know, if you're thinking about that every day, that has nothing to do with how you're trying to help your client. You got to think about your clients, and then the competition just goes by the wayside.
Right.
But I find that, too, the people that feel like they're really competitive salespeople, that want to go in and, you know, espouse everything they know about the competition, customers are bored by that. You know, it doesn't do anything for
right.
the client. They want to tell you what their problems
they
are.
Don't even,
they want you to listen.
They don't even care about you, let alone your competition.
That's
all
exactly
they care
right.
about is themselves.
That's it. And, you know, the high-tech companies, specifically software and, you know, that whole Internet age, they were the ones that, you know, that era really led to this. You know, everybody knowing every detail about their competition and, you know, getting the customer to believe that you got to hurry and jump on board or you're going to miss something.
Would you agree with me when I say that if you find yourself in an almost impossible situation that you don't know how to get out of, you're not sure you know how to get out of with the customer, the conceptual selling will get you out of that?
Absolutely. Because all you have to do is ask them. I mean, you know, if you think about what you just said and you're in this impossible situation, all you got to do is ask the customer and say, hey, listen, I'm concerned here that we're not meeting your needs. Where is it that we're falling short?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, you know, think about that little simple way of thinking that it's all about the customer rather than trying to come up with the next bell and whistle that might impress them.
So many people, it seems to me, Sam, focus on what they have to sell instead of what this means for the customer. And that's what conceptual selling is all about, isn't it?
That you nailed it. I mean, when I say it's all about the customer, that's the best way to describe it. Because it's about what they're trying to solve here, and it's interesting that maybe your product or service can solve it. You know, that's interesting, but the issue is really their problem.
Mm-hmm. Sam, I got about 30 seconds. Last thoughts from you.
Don't lose slow. And here's my point with that is I find people spend so much time and not understanding where they really sit with an account, not understanding the value they're providing, that they spend time and resources and lose the business anyway. Figure out if you're a fit for the client. Figure out if you can help them. If not, move on.
Mm-hmm. Don't waste everybody's time.
That's right.
It's kind of your obligation, isn't it, to be fair about that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's the only thing bad that can happen in a customer interaction is take tons of time.
If you waste their time.
You got it.
And your time. Hey, Sam, will you come back another day?
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
We've got a lot more to talk about. Sam Reese, ladies and gentlemen, with Miller Heiman. He's the president and CEO there. We'll get him back another day. See you later, Sam. Happy holidays. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.